And this morning you're in for a real treat. Some of our dearest friends and some of God's most chosen and anointed vessels are here this morning. And I just got to tell you that we got glimpses of the second service and the first service. And I will not steal his thunder, but this morning Larry Gritzmacher and his dear wife Melody are here to preach and to minister to us. And I've just got to tell you, it was hard to stay discouraged in that first service when he preached that word. I mean, it was all I could do to hold on to being discouraged. I mean, I tried to hold on to fear. I tried to get down in the mully grubs. I tried to whine, but the boy just preached that out of me and stuck the word right in me. Man, I just left here and gray skies had cleared up and Zippity was back in my doodah and I was ready to celebrate the day of the Lord. How many of you are ready for some of that this morning? Shout a hearty amen. Amen. Well, I've been hurt a lot in life. As many of you know, I'm a great overcomer. And this week I realized another challenge in pastoring as I received a very sad phone call from one of our constituents or parishers. I had it right the first time, parishers. You'll see why when I share with you the story of their phone call. Well, this individual has my cell phone number, and they called me, and they said, "Pastor, are you all right? Is everything okay?" I said, "Well, yes. Why? Has the Lord put, you know, me in your heart to pray?" And this guy says, "Oh, no, no, no. Haven't you heard about the fire?" And I said, "I've heard about a fire, or I seem to hear a fire, but I don't know where the fire is." He said, "Well, I was just calling because it was close to you. It was just, in fact, down the street from you, and I was just afraid that you might have been a part of the fire." Well, I now know that that fire was cleared out at Moss Hill in the Dayton area. But what I didn't know then was that it was out there. I was thinking it was just down the street from me. He said, "So you don't know that the Shipley's down the street where you go for coffee is on fire, and they can't put it out? That all the oil from the donuts just continues to blow off steam and fire. I was afraid you were there witnessing and got caught in the fire." So yes, today I've come bruised. I've come battered. But I've come out of the fire alive and well. And so has Shipley's, incidentally, because the fire wasn't there. It was in Moss Hill. And so that's a welcome to my world as a pastor of this church. And so this morning, we're thrilled to move from that bad story to a great sermon. This morning, we're so thrilled to have Larry and Melody Gritzmacher. We have known them for years and cherish them dearly as covenant friends. And this morning, you are going to be so encouraged when you leave this service because of the beautiful way that God communicates through their lives. Would you welcome Larry and Melody Gritzmacher to the pulpit of Dominion Church?
Thank you so much. What an awesome privilege. What a privilege it is to be here. First of all, I just wanted to say one more time, for those of you that weren't here in the first service, Greg and Dina are unbelievably good friends. And we want to thank them and thank all of you for letting us be a part of your church for a few months. It's been a wonderful time for us as a family to just feel God coming in and healing and restoring. We weren't falling apart. Well, you look at me and think, that guy's falling apart a long time ago. But God, really, it's just been a wonderful time of seeing God do amazing things. Our two boys aren't here today. Our oldest son, we were up till like 12:30 last night getting him up to Southwestern again. He's a junior at Southwestern. Our younger son's up in Minnesota at a youth camp, comes back tomorrow morning. And tomorrow afternoon, we take off for Mexico again. So thank you so much for your love. Clint, thanks for inviting me to the youth group. You and your wife are wonderful people. It was such a joy. I love young people. I love to see kids get on fire for God. You know, most of the great revivals in all of history have started amongst young people. Most of the fire that's come down has come through young people. So I want to encourage all the teenagers, don't wait till you get old because the fire may not hang around. Catch the fire now and run with it because God wants to use you in big, huge, awesome, wonderful ways. My mom and dad are here too. And I'm a traveling man. I'm a bum. I'm everywhere and anywhere all the time. I don't have a home. I'm just, in Spanish it's vagabundo. I think it's vagabond, right? Okay. And I'm just everywhere. My mom and dad are here and I hardly ever get to see them. They're right back there, the awesome people. And it's a privilege privilege to have them around when I'm preaching. I look at my life and say, I couldn't be a third of the man I am without the giant who was my dad. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. We're missionaries in Mexico City. And if you don't know what it is, it's a city of 33 million people. Wow. 33 million people all in one place. The weather there is 75 degrees almost every day. Almost every day. Humidity is about 15 to 20%. Almost every day. It's beautiful. The problem is you have 33 million people living in that same place with you. The contamination, the pollution is the worst in the world. But God has called us there. We love it. We absolutely love it. We're church planters. We have planted four different churches in the Latin world, three of them in Mexico, one here in the United States, and we've seen God move in amazing ways. God is raising up an army around the world. And as we speak for one moment, just of missions everywhere, don't forget that God is moving everywhere. Whatever you're doing for God, don't forget that missions is a huge part of everything you do. Everything you make sure that you give some of that to God for the gospel to go to every corner of the world. Because as you do, you go with that money. You become a part of it wherever it goes. Speaking of money, we are church planters and we are raising up leaders now. We aren't directly involved in the churches, but we do seminars and train pastors. We go on site and work with them. Our goal is to see churches in 6 months have 200 people. Instead of 60 years and having 20. And we believe God can do that. Just something to put in the back of your head, because everybody has a little spare money hanging around. You don't know what to do with it. It takes about $5,000 to get a brand new work off the ground. That's buying stereo. No, I want a stereo. The church needs a sound system. The church needs a sound system. They need overhead projectors, buying chairs, all the things that it takes to get a church going. So if you've got a spare $5,000, we've got about 20 projects over the next 2 years still that we need to see started. And I know you're just saying, God, I've got this money. I don't know what to do with it. God says Mexico City is a place. There's a bunch of people who aren't even believers yet who are going to see that money used for His glory. That's why I love to look at God. There's all kinds of people that don't even know Jesus loves them yet, but they're going to be giants for Jesus. And that's what missions is all about. That is what missions is all about. Take your Bibles with me, if you would, please. Judges 6 chapter, verses 15 and 16. I'm about ready to explode, because I know that God wants to do a miracle here. That some of you have come broken. Some of you have come to this place confused. Some of you have come into this room and said, can God really love me? Others of you that already know God loves you are saying, could God ever use me? Because we're thinking we're too old, we're too young, we're too poor, we don't have enough education, we got all these things. So we're trying to figure out, where do I fit, what do I do? God wants you, just as you are, with all your bumps, with all your warts, with all your hair, or lack of hair. Some are blessed like me. God wants to use you. And today we're going to talk about something very important, facing your doubts. Facing your doubts. As believers, from the time we get started, so often we're taught, you don't talk about the bad things in your life. You don't bring your dirty laundry into the house of God. So as we're coming in, we're stuffing frantically all of the things that who we really are, because we've got to have this perfect front. And we got to hallelujah at the right moment. And we got to praise God. And say, how you doing? And say, oh, wonderful, when inside we're dying. Because that's what we've been taught. But God doesn't look for that. You know why? Because He knows. We can say we're fine, we're wonderful, everything's great, we got everything we could ever ask for. And He looks inside and He says, no, you're not. No, you don't. And no, you haven't. Because He knows us better than we know ourselves. And He understands where we've been, where we are, and where we're going. And He's not afraid of any of them. So we're going to look here in Judges for a moment. In the 15th, 16th verses of the 6th chapter of Judges. I'm reading out of the New Living Version. I do that because I'm a street preacher. I love to preach where nobody knows Jesus. And if we're preaching out of a Bible that speaks a language nobody understands, they walk away. And this, every time, no matter what language, I look for the Bible that speaks the most like the person who doesn't know anything. Because then you're going to touch them where they live. So here's the way it is. If it doesn't look like your Bible, it's still God's Word. Gideon is in this chapter. And he's a man who has all kinds of things going on. And most of them aren't very good. Let me just read this and we'll talk a minute. "The Lord," Gideon replied, "how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh. And I am the least of my entire family." And the Lord said to him, "I'm going to be with you. And you will destroy the Midianites as if they were one man, and they were multiple thousands." Can you pray with me right now? Heavenly Father, we thank you because you are all sufficient. We thank you, Lord Jesus, because you know our heart. Right now, God, there are some who have come here so hurt. There are some who have come here so confused. There are others who have come here sick in their body, and they've been told there's no hope. Their heart says to them they're worthless, helpless, and have no way of getting out. Right now, Lord, I pray that you touch those hearts. I pray, God, that you just wrap your arms around each one of us individually right now. Because we all have doubted. We all have had fear. We all have hid behind our little wall. Right now, Jesus, help us to face who we are in your presence and accept the love, the grace, the mercy that only you can give us. Lord Jesus, this moment is your moment. It's a miracle moment. We're not here by chance or by circumstance. It's a divine order of God. Everyone here, it's a divine order that only you can give. And we ask for you to fulfill your good and perfect will in each one of us right now. That's not a maybe. That's a for sure. Let it happen, God. Let our obstacles be torn away so you have free access to who we are right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. As I said before, he knows who we are. And he knows us better than we know ourselves. He understands that we have doubts. He understands that we're fearful. He understands that we're worrywarts. He glories when we have victories. He loves to hear us laugh. God is not unfamiliar or afraid of anything inside of us. You can't hide it. You can't cover it. You can't gloss it over. You can't try to change it because he knows. And understanding that, we come in and say, God, how can I face who I am? How can I face my doubts? How can I face my fears? He loves us. I don't know how many of you have ever traveled to Hollywood in California, gone to Universal Studio. I've only been there once, but it just blew me away because you're walking down the street. I'm a Star Trek fan. I love Star Trek and all that stuff. It's just cool to me. I'm kind of a, I always think of tomorrow and next week anyway, and this is like way out there. And you're walking down the street, and it's like a different world. You turn the corner, and then you're in the Old West, and John Wayne could walk out of any one of those buildings. And then you turn the corner again, and Al Capone is sitting on the corner with a big stogie in his mouth. And you're thinking, but there's something you got to understand. In every one of these blocks, it looks so cool. It looks like, man, I'm there. But you walk through any one of the doors, it's empty. There's not even a room. It's just the door. And it looks cool, but that's all. And folks, We try to look real cool. But when it comes down to it, we all are struggling with our life. And it's a chain that wraps around us and keeps us from reaching the full abundance of Christ in us. From reaching the spectacular miracle life that we all wish we could have. Is there anybody here who would say, I really don't want miracles in my life? I really don't want God to bless me. No. I really like to live in a dark place. I really like to be sad and discouraged every day. That's me. I want that. No, we want abundant life. We want power. We want authority. We want all these things. But when we stuff everything inside of us and say, well, nobody will understand me if I let this out. God will hate me. That's so wrong. Because in Jesus, there's liberty. There's freedom. But we don't get it unless we say, God, here I am. And when we do this, guess what? It's all there. And He still loves us anyway. He still cares for us anyway. And I want to take just an extra moment for you to understand that right now God is saying, you're not ugly. You're not a dirty, rotten sinner. You're not an uneducated idiot. You're my child. And there are some of you here who are not believers at this moment. You have not yet found the reality of Jesus Christ in your life. He's not saying to you, you have no chance. Because whether we're a believer or not, we're still God's chosen. We just haven't, some of us, gotten to the place of realizing the intimacy of Christ in our life. We're all the same. So for those of you who have not yet accepted Christ in your life, Jesus loves you. He died for you like He did for everybody else in this room. And He understands all your ugliness and your fear and your lack. And He's saying, come on. Come on. Because that's where He lives. And we could say, but, because that's what Gideon said. But, Lord. And the verse before, I didn't read it, but you know what it says there? The last words of 14 before it comes into 15 says, O mighty hero. That's the angel speaking to Gideon. O mighty hero. God says that to us today because He sees victories tomorrow that He's preparing us for today. And we think, well, I'm scared. I'm not sure I can do this. Pastor Greg, yeah, because he dresses really cool and he speaks great. Pastor Dina, she sings like an angel. But not me. I get up in front of people and I sweat. God says, I got a victory for you. Oh, mighty hero. Facing our doubts. And coming to God and saying, how do we see it here? Let's quickly go through the Bible in the Old Testament. In Genesis 17th and 18th chapter, the 17th chapter speaks of Abraham. Abraham was 100 years old. And God said to him, you're going to be the father of a mighty nation. You know what Abraham did? He fell to the ground. Put his head on the ground and he laughed. He doubted. He is, you got to be kidding me. I'm 100 stinking years old. That's impossible. His wife in 18. God came to her. I think they separated them off because they're so old. They said, I'm afraid these guys are going to have a heart attack, so I'm going to have to tell them separately. So he separates off Sarah. And he says, Sarah, honey, you're going to be the mother of a massive nation. And they're going to change the course of this world. I'm going to use your seed and the fruit of your womb to change the world. Sarah turned away and laughed. I'm 90 years old. Come on. I shared in the first service, my mom and dad are here. If my mother found out she was pregnant, we'd just get the box and throw her in, because that would be all. It'd be all over. If my dear and wonderful wife here, Melody, she doesn't look it, but she's got a kid in college and another one 15 years old. If she found out she is pregnant, she'd kill me. And then she'd think about dying too. You understand where that goes? We're going to doubt. God's potential is unbelievable. And when he throws it in our face, we're like, but Lord. Let's go to Moses. Exodus, the third chapter, verses 10 through 15. There we find Moses grew up in unbelievable circumstances. I'm not going to tell the whole story. I don't have enough time. Grew up as an Israelite. I was born as an Israelite, raised as a son of Pharaoh. Became an adult and said, wait a minute, I don't fit in here. Took off for 40 years because he was so schizo. So psycho. He was like, Egyptian, Israelite, Egyptian, Israelite. Wealthy, poor. Well, I don't know. So he ran. Ever done that? Ever done that? Am I this? Am I that? Am I here? Am I that? I don't know. So you just run. And he ran. For 40 years, he ran. And God finally comes to him and says, excuse me, Moses. I want you to go back to the Pharaoh. And I want you to tell him to let my people go. But God, I don't talk good. I stutter. I'm scared. I abandoned those guys. And now I'm going to go back in and tell them I'm in charge? You let my people go? Uh-uh. And more so, I'm going to tell the Israelites, and they're going to say, and who in the world do you think you are? Last time we saw you, you were in his house. And now you're saying you're going to lead us out of here? I don't think so. And finally, we see Gideon. Judges chapter 6 and 7. He's hiding out in the woods, grinding some grain, because they were slaves to the Midianites. And if they saw him, they would kill him for even doing that. He was hiding out, trying to make a way for his family to eat. And God shows up and says, excuse me, I got a plan here. And he said, but Lord, our doubts are there. Can I share with you a doubt I've had? Let me share with you a little bit of what God has done in my life. Going to a different field, a different country, excuse me, learning another language is not easy. It's a blast, but it's not easy. Working in a whole nother culture, it's scary. I can tell you a million doubts that I have on a regular basis. Let me tell you about one specifically. The devil has chosen to attack me most of the time in physical ways. When I first met Greg and Dina, I was going through cancer treatments. God healed me. A few years back, I was pastoring a church in the heart of Mexico City, and once again, I felt awful. I thought cancer was coming back. The doubts just sprung up everywhere because I had unbelievable pain in my spinal column, and I was getting to a place where I couldn't stand up and preach anymore. I had to stay sitting down. I couldn't walk hardly at all. I'd walk a little bit, and the pain would just hit, and I'd have to stop and wait for it to quit. Finally, we came here to Houston, or I did, and left Melody to pastor the church for a month. I told her, I said, I don't know what to do. We'd been to two other doctors, and they basically gave us solutions that weren't going to work. And we said, but God. And we came back again, and I was here for 30 days under therapy with a chiropractic surgeon or something, and they were doing everything to try to make my back work. They did shots in it. They did everything. I experienced pain I didn't understand. And at the end of this time, I was worse. I was worse. I doubted God. I was mad at God. I was mad at everybody because God called me to be a missionary. And all I could see was us having to come home and quit. I came to this church when it was over in the Hilton on a Wednesday night. Many of you weren't even around then. That's awesome. I love to see new people every time I come. That's encouraging. And we're in one of the salones. What's a salon? It's a meeting room, right? Okay, a meeting room. And on the side there in the hotel. And somebody from, I think, Vietnam was preaching that night, talking about his ministry. And after it was done, I was there just to say goodbye to everybody because I knew the next day I was going home to quit. And I told my wife, I don't know what to do. I guess I'm just going to have faith and believe, even though I see nothing. And I came to the church, and after it was all done, I was saying goodbye to everybody, and I was on my way out the door. And three ladies from this church here asked me to pray, asked me if they could pray for me. Folks, these ladies began to pray. 30 seconds after they started, I was flat out on the floor. For 2 hours, they continued to pray. I don't know a thing. I was gone. For those of you that are new and don't understand the Holy Ghost, God took me out for about 2 hours. I have no recollection of anything. You say, I don't believe that. I lived it. I was there. I have no idea what was going on other than that at 11 o'clock at night. I opened up my eyes and I got up. And I could dance. I could jump. I couldn't do any of those things before. There's a couple doubting things there. The three ladies that prayed for me, I know all three of those ladies. And I know in their heart they're saying, you want me to pray for him? I think Pastor Greg should. But they just walked up to me and said, God told us we're supposed to pray for you. Could you see doubt in that moment? Yeah. And then I'm praying. I had a ton of people pray for me. I was depressed and I was angry. Because God hadn't done what he said he was going to do. So I was like, oh, yeah, sure, whatever. So being a good third generation Assemblies of God person, I said, okay. I closed my eyes because I didn't want them to see how much I didn't believe anything was going to happen. And like I say, 30 seconds into this prayer, I'm cold out on the floor. And when I opened my eyes again, I was soaked because these ladies were crying their eyes out before the Lord, and I was too. But when I got up, God said, it's over. And I called my wife and I said, honey, I'm healed. And you got to understand this. I had just told her the day before, I'm just going to believe God. I don't care. It's going to be fine somehow, some way. And she was like, yeah, sure. See doubt again?
Oh, yeah.
And that's normal. That's normal. What I'm trying to get you, that's normal. Because we're going into supernatural. We're going into places we have no control. And yet God still does what he wants to, in spite of us.
Right. That's good.
Somebody look at our clock. Okay, I got 5 minutes to wrap this baby up. Right. Okay, so I came home. And we got into our house. She said, lay on that couch. If you can get up out of that couch, we're staying. If you can't get up out of that couch, we're packing up and going home. Folks, I want to tell you that I got up out of that couch jumping. And we cried. We cried a river. We cried a river because God is faithful. And in spite of how much we doubt, in spite of how much I can say, I didn't believe God was going to do it, he did it anyway. He did it anyway. And today, as we look to the great men who are all in Hebrews 11, the great hall of faith, everybody I've talked to you about is in that chapter also, not only in the Old Testament, but they're in chapter 11 of Hebrews where it's called the hall of faith. They went on to do unbelievable things for God in spite of their doubt. And who are we to say, I'm going to harbor my doubt. I'm going to hang on to this. I'm going to stuff it inside of me. I come from the north, in case you haven't figured that out. I don't have the Texas drawl. I'm a Yankee. I can't help it. Born in Minnesota. Now as a missionary for 14 years, you kind of lose every accent. And you're just, everybody's confused when they see you. Northerners can be a little chilly sometimes. Little reserved. But let me tell you what. Our inclination is to stuff it. And a good Northerner will give you that face like, man, I'm as good can be. But I think some of us Southerners can do the same thing, right? And God just says, well, you know what? In spite of yourself, I'm going to just go on and love you anyway. In spite of how ugly you think you are, I just think you're the prettiest thing I ever seen. And I want to pick you up, and I want to say, tomorrow we're going here. Let's not be yesterday's people who are always looking behind and saying, well, this, that, and the other's keeping me down. Let's let the chains be freed. Let's let God come in and say, yeah, I see your doubt. I see your fear. I see that the devil's all over you at times and making you feel like you are not anybody for anything. But here, let me take you.
That's good.
Me pick you up and love on you. Let me kiss all over you real good so that you know that you're important. And when we go to that place, and we're wrapping up right now, is God says, I don't want you to live in what you can. I want you to live in which is impossible for you to do. Because when we're there, miracles happen. When we're there, everything that gives us the confidence to say, yeah, Pastor, I can take care of that. We're going into it saying, oh, dear Lord. He's asked me, he thinks I can do that? You're out of your mind. But God takes a stuttering runaway and helps him to lead his people out of slavery and bondage. He takes a little man who was the smallest of his family, the smallest of his tribe, who was hid out in the woods because he was afraid to be out in the sunlight. And he takes him to be the leader to free them from slavery again. He takes two old people way over the hill. I can say that because they were 90 and 100, so there's nobody even close to that. I'm hoping. They were way over the hill. And God says, you guys. Today, he says, you guys. Let me bring back again the point of where this church is. This place is not big enough. I'm always looking for new places for churches. That's my life. I love that. God's got a special spot. I can see a couple places, but I think God's got something even bigger and better. There's a culture real close to here who's completely untouched. God's called you. And you all may need to change drastically to still be what God wants you to be. And you're doubting that you can. You're afraid that you won't fit in. You're afraid that you're going to get left behind. God doesn't do any of those things.
That's right.
He doesn't leave us behind. He doesn't forget us. And he's always got something more. So I want you to accept that today. That God has something more. And that you don't live for yesterday. You put up with today. And you're always saying, God, tomorrow there's always going to be something more.
Yes.
We deal with what today brings. And we glory in what God does. But we're always saying, but God, tomorrow it's going to be better. It's going to be bigger.
That's right.
And he's going to love us. And he's going to take us. And it's not by our strength. It's not by our might. But it's by the Spirit, says the Lord. It's not that we have enough intelligence. It's not that we have enough of anything. But God says, because I love you, I have called you, I have set you apart. And in that calling, great things will happen. Stand up with me. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Marriages that are broken and can't become whole. I mean, I just mm-hmm. feel there is such a strong anointing here, Larry.
Mm-hmm.
I just want you to know you have the freedom to do everything you need
okay.
to.
right now, I want everybody to just take your hand and put it over your heart. Put it over your heart. There are people here this morning who have been ruled by doubt, fear, and self-hatred. You have battled all your life with feeling like there's no way. You have not come to God or the church because you felt like I'll never fit in. If anybody discovers what a crummy, awful person I am, they'll beat me to death. There's some of you here. And you put on the most awesome front because I look around and think, these are pretty people. But there's some of you that are struggling with unbelievable things. And God can't get in. And what we're going to do right now is we're going to pray a prayer of freedom. I'm going to ask you all to pray it out loud with me, if you would, please. Because there's some of you that have chains that there's no other way they're going to be broken. You are so tied up in a cell of darkness that is so putrid in its odor right now, and you don't know what to do. Some of you in this week have contemplated ending your life. You have felt like, I can't do this. Nobody understands. I can't go another minute. And for those of you that are living in victory right now, your hand is over your heart because we need the faith of everybody in this place right now to break the chains that bind. We need the faith of every young person, of every child, of every adult right now, because there are certain people here who don't want to be put out in front, to be separated off. But without this prayer right now, they aren't sure that tomorrow is even going to come. Are you with me on that? So we're going to pray out loud right now, a prayer of freedom. Just close your eyes or leave them open, whatever you're most comfortable with. And we're going to believe right now. Just follow me in this prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me, for putting up with me, for understanding who I am. Lord Jesus, I am so sorry that I have failed you. I have failed myself. I have failed so many people. But today, you love me. You died for me. You paid all the price so that I could be here. It's not a chance. It's ordered by you this moment. So God, right now, I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to take my heart, my mind, all the things I've done, and accept me. Please forgive me. Thank you, Jesus, for breaking the chain, for breaking all the chains that have held me back, that have put me down, that have destroyed my life. Today, Jesus, by faith, I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. Scream it out. I'm free. I'm free. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand. Give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now I want to share with you something very important. Because again, because of our culture, because of who we are, we can write this off and say, well, that was pretty little words. But that's all it was pretty little words. That's a lie from hell. Today, by faith, as you receive that prayer into your life, the devil no longer has dominion over you. The devil no longer can pull your strings. And now, quickly, I want to just share with you, it's a step of faith now to go to somebody and say, this is what God did to me today. Don't just stuff it and walk out of here saying, well, I don't know for sure. Know for sure. Know for sure. As you share with somebody, God will take that little seed that happened when you prayed and it'll put up a barrier to help you in your battle. So tomorrow when the doubt comes again, you're going to have that seed that says, but God loves me. When somebody reminds you of all the awful things you've done, But Jesus died for me anyway. And that's the voice that's going to come. That's the Holy Spirit. Again, for those of you that are new here, the Holy Spirit desires to dwell in us, to live in us. And when He lives here, when the devil tries to say, you stink, you're lousy, you're going to die, that Holy Spirit that's there will come up and say, that's just a lie. Don't worry about it. I got your back. I got your back. And you're going to be okay. So I'm going to ask you to take that step of faith right now to believe that the Holy Ghost has come and that He is now living in you. Hallelujah. Can we pray one more prayer quickly of confirmation? I'm going to pray it out. You just let God minister you. Then Pastor Greg is going to do something here. And I believe there's people here who need to be healed. And we're going to give a chance for those of you that want to go home to do that. But God has healed me numerous times. My wife also. And we want to take a moment to be able to pray for you. But right now, we're just going to pray the confirmation. Heavenly Father, you know what's happened right here. Your Holy Ghost is in this place. There's no doubt about it. There's an anointing here that is breaking the bonds of years, of a lifetime. And today, Lord Jesus, as we face our doubts, we find freedom. As we let go of our fears, we find hope. God, as we just quit putting on religion and quit putting on this fake front and just be who we are, God, you promise that you're gonna love us in spite of ourselves. And you've said that today. You've confirmed that. And we confirm it together as a body, that we are saved by your grace, that we've been lifted up by your mercy, and that tomorrow, God, you are calling us to work for you. This city desperately needs hope. Our neighbors are dying and going to hell, and you've called us. You've called us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.